CIUT 89.5 FM, celebrating 35 years as the sound of your city. Proudly student and listener-supported community radio.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. We're going to be speaking in a few minutes with Zafar Bengash, Crescent International. Zafar is an authority on what is we commonly call the Middle East. There's some dispute about whether that's the appropriate term. There's news, of course, from Pakistan. There's news from Afghanistan. There's great amount of discussion of what's going on in the Islamic Republic. And of course, we've just had the United Nations meeting where the voices are becoming heavier and more unpleasant. So Zafar, I'm sure, is going to have a lot to tell us. We'll be going into those matters. We should probably say that we're having an issue with you might notice from headlines, Russia. And there's been this dramatic incident of the blowing up of the pipelines. It would seem to be patently something the U.S. did. You're not supposed to say it, but if you were to say, who would you suspect? I think you'd have to say the number one suspect would be that country which said, there's not going to be any Nord Stream pipelines. I hope that listeners have seen President Biden saying it. 1 year ago, he said that if Russia were to enter Ukraine, there would be no Nord Stream pipelines. They would be closed down. He was asked, and you can watch him answer the question. He was asked, well, how can you be sure of that? And he said, well, trust me, it's going to happen. That was all he said. Subsequent to that, we had, of course, Victoria Nuland, rather notorious figure in the issues to do with Russia-Ukraine. Victoria Nuland said the Nord Stream had to be and would be shut down. Now we have post-explosions. And this is really dangerous territory we're talking about. Post-explosions, Secretary of State Blinken, that Blinken Secretary of State, he said that this now represents a great opportunity because he said it was way overdue that dependence on Russian oil gas should be ended. And therefore, this moment represents great opportunity. Of course, on top of that, we had Mr. Sikorsky, who I believe is the grandson of a very famous Polish patriot named Sikorsky, whose demise has often been attributed to Winston Churchill, of all people, because his plane took off and didn't land during World War II, and that two were known to Churchill, Sikorsky, to have been at loggerheads over how the, as they call it, the political architecture of Europe was to be arranged as World War II would be concluded. And at any rate, this grandson, this figure, Sikorsky, who's, by the way, his wife is an op-ed writer for the New York Times, known for her virulent, really virulent anti-Russian writing. He said, thank you, USA. He took that down because I guess people said, you know, it's something they didn't want to be talking about. Look, it's pretty obvious that this has happened and that it's now we're going to have the Canadian media is going to beat itself up and the New York Times will cudgel its brains over, given the fact the U.S. wanted to destroy the pipelines and the pipelines were destroyed. Why did Russia do that is going to be the question. And they will have all sorts of people who really ought to be in white jackets and put away. they will be telling us all the answers. It was done. I think the most striking thing is that it was, that is, this is the kind of step which is tells you, you we are in brand new territory, because this is blatant and it is off the chart kind of behavior. It is part and parcel of the approach the Americans have taken, not just towards Russia and the developing world, but the People's Republic of China, where drastic steps are being taken, really drastic steps, where countries are ordered to rip up their Huawei materials and to throw the country, throw the business out, and which is costly to the country. Canada lost a lot with the Huawei business. Britain is almost, we were hanging on to the last. I actually can't update you as to where their present thinking is, but basically countries are having to do what they're told. And it is a fact that I would urge people to really break the rules and get yourself a full text of the speech by the leader of Russia, President Putin. Just read it to see. One of the reasons you do this is so that you can understand the other party. If you're going to rely on the Toronto Star or the CBC to tell you what is going on or what someone said, I would say you're pathetic, because it isn't their job to render to you the truth. It's their job to construct all information so as to reinforce the policies of the government. That's simply a fact. That's how they operate. And if you want to know differently, or if you want to sort of make up your own mind, which is, everybody says we do that. That's not true. Very few people go to the trouble to look at the remarks of leaders around the world who differ with the United States. Instead, they go to the explainer. There's an old story, which I've always liked. I got it from Edward Dahlberg, the American author, who was never in step with anybody, but he was a very smart fellow. And he was a student of American culture. He was a friend of D.H. Lawrence. He kind of went back. Ford Madox Ford, Theodore Dreiser, Sherwood Anderson were all his sort of companions. Even into our times more closely, Edmund Wilson was a friend, associate. None of them ever got along, but this is all to tell you that Edward Dahlberg gave a lot of thought to things, and he always said the truth is more important than friendship, which is a pretty scary thing to say. His observation was, he said, that if an American were taken into a room and there were two doors, one door said over it, God. And then over the next door, it said, lecture on God. The Americans would go to the lecture. And he thought that was what was wrong, psychologically or socially, with the culture. If you were to look around the world, I suppose that would probably be a fairly common thing. But at any rate, this is where we are. People don't actually, they're frightened of the thought that they would listen to somebody else. My own experience, I was very fortunate when I differed with, over the years, with U.S. policy towards Cuba. And the only thing I did that was set me apart maybe from most of my friends or contemporaries was that I always made it a point to find out what Cuba was saying, but particularly the individual Fidel Castro, because he was a very articulate individual, and he also he handled his own, you might say, foreign policy, etc., his own press releases. He said whatever he thought was important to say for his country, and I always thought I might benefit. Americans might have benefited going back in time had they listened to Simon Bolivar rather than to their own. If they paid a little attention to what he was saying, they would have saved this hemisphere a lot of grief. So that is the most striking thing I believe we should get from this current situation. It's very important now. And by the way, the United Nations offers a wonderful opportunity. If you, all the principal leaders of the world who cared to put in their 2 cents worth about what is going on and what they think should happen. And one thing is very obvious is if you follow the United Nations debates, is that the U.S. is not the world as it, Toronto Star and others would have it. When they say the world, they actually do mean the Anglo-Saxon West. We had a visitor from Ukraine about 4 months ago. He was a defense minister. And he said, and it was not widely reported here, he said, it's time for the Anglo-Saxons to get involved. And I didn't notice anybody react to that. He wasn't, nobody said, well, what do you mean? He's referring to Canada. What do you mean Anglo-Saxons? Nobody took it up. Recently, in his speech of about 4 or 5 days ago, President Putin of Russia, he used that term. And then a few people said, oh, quotes, Anglo-Saxons. But actually, if you look at the votes at the United Nations, listen to the speeches, you'll notice that when Brazil speaks, when India speaks, of course, when China speaks, they don't pick up the line of the U.S. The U.S. went for condemnation yet recently of the referendums held in eastern Ukraine, the U.S. thought they would get an easy condemnation. It didn't happen. The governments of India and Brazil abstained from that. They did that because they really see, as anybody with two eyes could, that the United States is hardly the one to lecture the world about intervening in countries. They would intervene in Afghanistan, and Canada helped. By the way, Ukraine also helped to try to hold down Afghanistan. But Afghanistan, under the leadership they have, and I don't even know whether to call it Taliban, but whoever, chased the government, the Western so-called supported government, chased it out of power. The world wasn't in sympathy with the U.S. and its efforts to do that, because the United States didn't ask for anybody at the United Nations to help them. That was a U.S. project. 20 years of mayhem, or probably more, of mayhem by the U.S. in that area. On the matter of the referendum, before we go, and we will be talking to Zafar Benghazi very shortly. This is the Taylor Report. There's nothing remarkable about the vote, and I think we're being misled about what happened in terms of the referendum. The region in which this vote on the referendum took place were the stronghold of the old party of regions of Ukraine, and it's an area in which the largely Russian-speaking population, and I'm speaking historically, I'm not talking about Soviet Union, modern Russia, talking about the whole evolution of the region, that region has always voted that it prefers association with Russia in one form or another. Certainly they prefer to have their language and culture protected, something that wasn't happening since 2014, since the wonderful Victoria Nuland and her friends took power in Kyiv. The people of those regions, so-called Donbas, have rejected Kyiv because they always did. On the issue of language, they have a difference. If you want to face it, Quebec in Canada has exactly the same issue. You cannot arbitrarily decide in the English-speaking areas what they will speak in the French-speaking areas. If you try to do that, you will get what they got. They inherited a nightmare, which Victoria Nuland thought that was okay. Taylor Report, CIUT, 89.5 FM. Last moments, I want to say I'm a former football player. I love football, and I'm starting to have my doubts. I realized something. I got knocked out twice when I was a small quarterback. Somebody should have told me not to do that, but anyhow. And a player named, we call him Tua, from the Miami Dolphins, was permitted to go back out on the field when he clearly had a concussion. But looking at it closely, America is addicted to football. Sunday is no longer a religious holiday. It's a day for football. And the greatest celebration of the year is the Super Bowl, and where it kind of looks like a pagan holiday to watch it. But we realized something. Actually, every year, students, high school students, players, that's what I was when I got knocked out, they get concussions, but there's hardly any, there's obviously not the highly qualified individuals that look after NFL players. And we saw an NFL player in serious trouble, but high school kids get knocked out a lot. And they say, there's an old saying, well, you had your bell rung, et cetera. Actually, it's a very dangerous situation. And it is a capitalist sport. And the idea is to continue making money, and to make money, the star has to be on the field. I'll tell you a quick story. A guy named Dick Butkus, who he was a linebacker, used to run into people for a living. And one year he came to spring training, and they said, well, Dick, we don't really need you anymore because we don't think your knee is good enough to hold you up for the season, so we're going to let you go. And he said, what do you mean? I've had the problem, I know. And they said, well, we've looked at it. So for the first time, he said he went to his own doctor and said to his own doctor, what about my knee? And the doctor said, you don't have a knee. They just put throwing you back on the field. You destroyed your knee, friend. Of course, he's lucky that's a knee. If it's your head, Troy Aikman, famous quarterback, was told, Troy, you've been knocked out 6 times, so one of these times you may not wake up. So it's time for everybody to wake up, tell the NFL, tell all these guys who are making billions out of sport, save those players or take them off the field. They ought to have a union. I think I hear the music coming. This is Taylor Report. See you next week.